Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to be here. I want to talk a little bit about what Geodynamics has done out in the Cooper Basin as indicative, but then touch on our plans for the Hunter. Now, I'd like to draw out a bit of the economics as we see it for geothermal energy, and also outline as I go through some of the job creation opportunities that are very real. We have to have a disclaimer because we're a listed company. We have a market cap of about 400 million, give or take whatever the vagaries of the market were this morning. Our vision is to provide and compete in the NEM, the National Electricity Market, for baseload power. And this is the great strength of geothermal energy, that we can compete in the baseload sector of the market. So, the agenda for this afternoon, the achievements this year, where we're up to in resolving the risks and the outstanding risks of development plan, moving ahead, hopefully next year, to a final investment decision on the first 50 megawatt unit, then the Hunter Valley development program, and finally a quick look at the economics. We drilled in this year, we completed Habanero 3, which was our third well, but this one intersected a fractured zone of granite about 4.5 kilometres below the ground, which had been fractured when we drilled Habanero 1. So I can leave you with a mental picture of two wells going down to a fractured zone of granite about 50 metres thick, about 3.5 kilometres long, in an ellipsoid shape, and 2.5 kilometres wide. So that's the underground heat exchanger that we extract the heat from. We then moved the rig to Jalokia. Spudding being a term from the oil and gas industry for starting to drill. That well, we had a target depth of 5,000. We actually pulled target depth on Monday morning at 4,910, because the extreme temperatures we were experiencing at the bottom of the hole, which is good news. Well, the bad news was we couldn't find drilling bits that could continue to drill. I think we only got 15 metres after the last bit, so we said, let's call it quit, we're hot enough. And we're currently just completing a three-day programme of logging of the well, temperature, nature of the fractures, the nature of the rock, etc. We have started closed loop testing, and here you can see the pipe running, snaking down across the gibber, down to the well. Habanero 3 is about here, and that will involve and does involve circulating water, bringing up one well, taking it, extracting the heat, and then putting it back down the other. And that's a fundamental part of what the industry calls proof of concept, whereby we demonstrate that we can extract from the heat resource the energy at an economic rate. I have to say we've had some difficulties with the pump that was supplied by Schlumberger. I feel like naming them. And they are currently flying. As we speak, our two pumps are flying up to Singapore to their workshop to be reworked in the next week. I have to say the pump hasn't been handed over to us yet. Risk resolved. We have a tight reservoir. The water is extremely overpressurized, therefore there's no leakage, and that which we bring up, we put straight back down again once we've extracted the heat, so there's no water losses. We've got the temperature. In the case of Habanero, it's about 250 degrees. The indications are from Jalokia that we'll be about 275 to 280 degrees centigrade. And as I mentioned, we've got a reservoir, we've stimulated it, we've demonstrated hydraulic connections between Habanero 1 and 3. They are connected, and we have extracted heat. Got to have a picture of a drilling rig. This, incidentally, we own this rig. It's the largest and newest onshore rig in Australia. It's the heaviest duty onshore rig around, which gives us a huge advantage in the current climate. Risks outstanding. We've got to define the reserves. Drill and stimulate heat exchangers to greater depth. Well, I think we can put a tick there, having got down to 4,900. We're very pleased with that. We're planning to manage multi-fractured drilling and stimulation. That's where we create the fractures in the next well at Savina. We also have to look at the scaling and corrosion and water chemistry, and we have a number of commercial challenges in front of us on which work is proceeding. I've mentioned Jalok here. We'll be moving to Savina. It takes us about three weeks to move the rig, and then we will drill that one as well. That's about 10 kilometres away, and it's all part of proving up the reserves. Our estimates would suggest that we can support 5,000 to 10,000 megawatts of baseload generation from our tenements alone. And just to quantify that, that's about the continuous output of Liddell and Bayswater taken together at full load. That's about 4,700 megawatts. And we can do between 5 and 10. So it's of national significance. When we drill Savina, we come back to Jalokia. Now, everything we're doing is driving towards taking the investment decision, ideally planned for March 2009, to commit the first 50 megawatt. This venture is not for the faint-hearted, as you can imagine. It's also not for those who don't have a good deal of financial debt. I'm pleased to say that we have been extremely successful and currently have secured and committed funding of about $250 million to see this through. This project, with its drilling, will cost us in the range of $300 million with the transmission. But then its running costs are virtually zero. We'll only have one or two men out there. However, to do this, we need to drill 9 wells, and we'll probably use 2 rigs. Each of those rigs will have a complement of 70 people, 35 on, 35 off at any one time, plus all the support staff. And it's a developing industry. There are new firms forming around servicing the geothermal industry here in Australia. And much though I dislike... Rumsfeld did give us the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns. So this is all predicated on the known unknowns and addressing those, but who knows? The things at 4.5 kilometres below the ground, you don't know what you're going to find. So we talk about job creation. When I took up this role about 12 months ago, there were 7 of us in the office. There are now 47. So we're busily creating a knowledge-based company, a bunch of very enthusiastic professionals. We've moved into new offices. We're positioning ourselves with all the necessary competencies, not least of which is logistics. And I'm pleased to say that 2 weeks ago we announced a third cornerstone investor, Tata Power, who have invested $44 million in Geodynamics to take a 10% position, and we'll be exploring opportunities with them in India and third countries. So it's a very clear example where the technological developments here in Australia are being exported. And this is in the early days, even before we generated a kilowatt. Proof of concept, I mentioned that we are suffering with this pump, but we expect to have that operating within the next weeks, not months, and we'll do the circulation test. This is a picture of Habanero 3 in open flow condition. So that's steam coming up, well, it's water flashing to steam coming up from 4.5 kilometres below the ground. This is how we're proving up the reserves. And when we've finished Savina, you will see the center circles, or ellipses, represent zones where we have a 90% confidence level on the heat that we can extract, and the sort of orange ones at a 50%. And take those three taken together, if we're successful at Jalokia and Savina, and we're pretty clear we are at Jalokia, so it's Savina that remains to be drilled, we will have sufficient reserve to power 500 megawatts for about 30 to 40 years, which is a prerequisite, the board had said, for the first 50 megawatts. Yeah. The first 50 megawatts of itself doesn't make sense in the middle of the Cooper Basin. It only makes sense if you can then move forward to 500 megs. Nice picture of the Cooper Creek. But the key points are it is genuinely a zero emission generation source. A fairly small footprint and no demand for water. And most importantly, for a power generation source, no adverse legacy. No ash ponds, no emissions, no waste fuel to process. Turning now to the Hunter. We took over the tenements that Pacific Power had in Bulga, in around Bulga and Muswellbrook. We've done shallow drilling on our Bulga tenements, and that's three wells down to about 400 metres when we then do temperature surveys. The results of that have been sufficiently encouraging for us to commit at the last board meeting, in fact, to $2 million of a well down to 2 kilometres. That will serve two purposes. One, it will give us a further confirmation that the temperatures that we predict are there, and give us sufficient confidence to drill a deep well. And in order to drill the deep well, we need a seismic detector 2 kilometres below the ground to give us the vertical differentiation when we stimulate. So it's a dual purpose well. And of course, from our perspective, proximity to local transmission infrastructure is something that's rather nice considering the challenge we face out at Innamincka. The licenses have been renewed. We will, as I say, be drilling this 2 kilometre. And we pretty well close to securing a rig for the deep well. Now we are currently in discussions with the government of New South Wales, seeking a $10 million grant for a 10 megawatt demonstration plant in 2012. And we're also going to be applying for federal government support for the first pair of deep wells. We'll probably see us drilling the deep well sometime quarter two next year, I would have thought. Quarter two, quarter three next year. A lot depends on the availability of rigs, because our rigs are committed in the Cooper Basin. Now, if I could just turn to this, I think I've got about 2 or 3 minutes. This seeks to set out the relative economics for competing technologies for baseload generation. And what we have in the blue blocks are combined cycle gas turbines with different prices of gas, $7 a gigajoule, 9 and 11, and it uses up-to-date capital costs. Now these have gone up something like 50% in the last 2 or 3 years, and delivery dates are stretched out. Then we modelled a lignite ultra-supercritical unit using lignite at 50 cents a gigajoule, very much the Victorian price, and black coal at $1.50 a gigajoule. Well, anybody who's associated with the coal industry knows that $1.50 is grossly optimistic. You can't secure a long-term contract here in the Hunter for domestic generation under $2. At the moment. So these are quite conservative numbers. We then used American peer review costs for carbon capture and storage. Clearly these are open to a lot of debate, and there's a huge amount of work going on around the world. But they weren't, those weren't, there are a number of people who looked at them and said, well, our estimates are, but it's more than that. And we also used a figure of $36 a ton on carbon. And that's what gives you these relative, the white blocks on the long run marginal cost. And on an exactly equivalent basis, using our knowledge of our drilling costs and our very detailed cost estimates for the surface works, that is the relative economics. It has geothermal energy on a par with nuclear, and I have to say the nuclear cost, we didn't take any back end costs because, you know, those are just such an imponderable number. Nobody, I believe, today can claim that they know the back end costs of decommissioning. But it gives us great confidence that we can be economic in the NEM with a carbon price of $20 to $30 a tonne. Now, most forecasters and observers and commentators and the chattering classes are all saying nothing will happen here in Australia in terms of carbon emissions at less than $20 a tonne. Now, anybody can argue that number, but the broad view is that $20 a tonne is a starting point. So we feel at Geodynamics pretty confident that we can bring this project to market and be competitive with new entrants, which positions us for the load growth or replacement of high emission technology, such as some of the high emission CO2 emission plants in the Latrobe. And that, I think, completes a 15-minute presentation.